When we pray in the name of Jesus, remember when Jesus spoke in John 14 and he said there, whatever you ask in my name, I will do it so that the Father is glorified in his Son Jesus. So when we believe and we have faith in the name of Jesus, in Jesus Christ, you have to see the Father's involvement taking place, because the Father is being glorified. And that's why Jesus came to make known who the Father is. He came to reveal the Father God. And that is why the Holy Spirit is really working and bringing a lot of healing into particularly the body of Christ about what fatherhood's all about. I'm not looking at examples from mankind, but we find healing in the fatherhood of God. That's where you find true healing of what fatherhood's all about. And so the Holy Spirit is busy working, helping us to get a greater understanding, a revelation of our Heavenly Father, and getting the healing from Him, and not trying to look at worldly examples, because all of us have fallen and all of us have got issues, but not God. He's perfect in every way. And so in John 1, we read then verse 10. This is concerning our Lord Jesus Christ. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Now verse 12, yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right, he gave the authority to become children of God. Now that is very deep. I still don't get much revelation there. He gave the right, he gave the authority to become children of God. So, as children of God, we walk in the reality of our Heavenly Father giving us that authority, that right to be his children. That's big, because of the security that brings, the reality of what adoption is all about, what it is to be sons and daughters of God, to become children of God, children born not of a natural descent. And that is why we are getting our identity in our Heavenly Father, who we are as his children, understanding the right of being his children. So we're not getting our identity from natural descent family members, but from our Heavenly Father, nor of human decision or of a husband's will, but born of God. There's the healing that we're speaking about, that the Holy Spirit is helping every believer. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And so when we're praying in the name of Jesus, you've got to start to see the reality that he is full of grace and truth. So you're seeing the fullness of the Father being released and expressed and made known through his Son Jesus. Example of this, yesterday there was an issue that caused somebody a bit of it was a traumatic experience for that person, and I couldn't give an answer quite yet, because I was also just, I had revenge in my heart at that moment, and I had to just go and, Lord, let me just get perspective in all of this here. And so, again, I started just to pray. And remember, the Holy Spirit, Jesus says, the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. There are situations where you and I do not yet fully understand. And Jesus says, when you stand before a court, whatever the case may be, don't think of the words, whatever you're going to say. The Holy Spirit will bring to your remembrance the truth. And it's the same when you and I face any situation. It doesn't matter whether it's standing before a judge or you're standing before a circumstance. The Holy Spirit will take from Jesus and make it known. And that's why I become very conscious of, in your situation, what is the Holy Spirit saying to you? Remember we looked at in Isaiah We look there in Isaiah 11 concerning the wisdom, the sevenfold manifestation of God, the Holy Spirit. He is a spirit of wisdom, of counsel, of might, of understanding. You know, and so you wanting to pray in the name of Jesus, the Holy Spirit says, wow, that's fantastic, because I'm going to take from Jesus and make it known to you. And so the Holy Spirit will give you the wisdom, the counsel, that truth that the Holy Spirit's bringing to you right now. That's the wisdom, that's the counsel, that's the understanding, it's the knowledge that's coming from our Lord Jesus. In other words, it's coming from our Heavenly Father. See, it's our Father that's sharing with us, this is the answer, this is my answer for you to get the breakthrough. And that, often it's not common sense. Often it's like foolishness to this mind. And so yesterday, as I go and I just go time and pray, and suddenly the Holy Spirit just reminds me the reality that as I'm praying in the name of Jesus, you've got to see the fullness of grace coming through the Father, through Jesus, for that situation. And so all of a sudden I have the wisdom of God. I have the insight of God. I have the understanding of God on what He wants to do in that situation. Because now there's no revenge. Now it's the fullness of grace. Father, your fullness has been made known through Jesus. So you're going to answer based on what your Son has already done for this situation. See, so we're getting established and having confidence, having faith in the name of Jesus, knowing that Jesus is bringing forth the reality of our Heavenly Father to make the Fatherhood known in the lives of people. And so grow in confidence as the Holy Spirit teaches you. And no matter how silly it may seem, the truth that the Holy Spirit brings to your mind at that moment, against that circumstance, you may say, no, that's just not going to be the answer. Have confidence. The Holy Spirit will bring to your remembrance. He knows. See, we're looking at it differently. God knows. And so you go and you do what the Holy Spirit, you walk in that truth. You appropriate that truth that the Holy Spirit gives. And so we see in the name of Jesus, as we come in His name, as we proclaim His name, we see there that He comes from the Father, and so He's revealing the fullness of God. Remember what grace is? It's God Himself giving, God leaning forwards, just in a generosity, just in that Pharaoh position, just, I'm giving myself to you because of my Son, what He's done. He's your righteousness. See, because of Him, I'm giving myself to you. And so we're starting to receive, wow, Jesus, we speak your name over our cities. We speak your name over your nation, over our nation. We've got to see, Father, His fullness being released. We need to believe. See, we need to have faith in the name of Jesus. Not faith in the circumstances of what we see with all the corruption and all the evil taking place. Faith in the name of Jesus. Why is it so important? Oh, there's many scriptures, but just one scripture over here in John chapter 16. And Jesus speaks about the Holy Spirit. Now, verse 5, now I'm going to Him who sent me, yet none of you ask me where you are going. Because I've said these things, you are filled with grief. But I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send Him to you. When He comes, He will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. In regard to sin, because men do not believe in me. In regard to righteousness, because I'm going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. And in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. Now notice this, when you and I have faith in the name of Jesus, we've got confidence in who He is. We've got confidence in the Word of God. So when we are proclaiming the name of Jesus, what's happening? See, the Holy Spirit is busy convicting the world of the unbelief and not believing in the Son of God. The Holy Spirit is convicting the world, because remember, Jesus was accused to be a blasphemer. You see? He was a sinner. How can a sinner be resurrected? And so the resurrection of Jesus declares His righteousness, because only the righteous are raised from the dead. Okay? So now this blasphemer is suddenly, And that's why Romans 1, his resurrection declares he's a son of God. Because it shows. And so the world is convicted. That's why in your message of the gospel, the good news of God, you speak about the resurrection of Jesus. Because the Holy Spirit is convicting the people, because only the righteous die. The wages of sin is death. Christ was raised from the dead. And so the Holy Spirit's convicting the people concerning what righteousness, because he draws them. This whole thing is the revelation of Jesus. Unbelief in Jesus, the righteousness of Jesus. Jesus' victory over Satan. Christ is our righteousness. So the Holy Spirit convicts the people of their unrighteousness. It makes them feel guilty concerning their unbelief. It makes them feel guilty concerning their unrighteousness and their behavior and their sinfulness, so that they can come and receive the gift of righteousness in Jesus Christ and find the peace and the breakthrough and the deliverance and come into the family of God and experience what it is to be a child of God. Okay, and so that is why it's so, so important. And then also concerning the regards to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. And so Satan has already got the verdict. We see in Revelations what the verdict is. We see in the cross of Jesus, Christ triumphed, has disarmed the enemy. And so we see the incredible victory of Jesus. And that's why we go in his name and we can cast out demons, because demons no longer have the authority anymore. Jesus has overcome. So every time you do a deliverance, it's a testimony that Satan stands condemned and Christ is the King of Kings. He is the true authority. So when we pray and we lift the name of Jesus and we declare the name of Jesus, you've got to understand that every time we do that, the demonic power, the prince of this world, his stronghold, his authority that he has over mankind is being loosed and released, and the body of Christ is busy proclaiming, the body of Christ is walking in the name of Jesus. And they're going and they're advancing the kingdom of God. And that, so we need to allow and yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit so that we can come much stronger in our understanding and our faith and our belief. We must be fully persuaded that when we speak the name of Jesus, the fullness of God is involved. So it mustn't just be an intellectual thing. It mustn't be a formula. He's helping us to be able to know with confidence, I speak the name of Jesus. I don't know if you picked up this morning that heaven is open. You see, as we were to speak in the name of Jesus, the angels are all ministering. You just got to receive. All you got to do is just say, thank you, I receive what you wanted to impart into my life today. And you will get the breakthrough, you will get the healing, you will get the deliverance, whatever it is needed. You just got to receive, because the heaven's open. Jesus is here, you see, and he's here. Just receive. Okay. And so that you might be having a struggle, you might be having a battle right now, because the enemy wants to deceive, the enemy wants to make you feel miserable and all this kind of stuff. Don't allow it. Don't allow it. You see, thank you, Jesus. I receive from you today what you wanted to do. And you will know, you'll experience a breakthrough. Remember, Jesus always confirms the truth with signs and wonders. That's why I know if you just receive, you'll find he will confirm what I'm saying to you. I have total confidence in his love for each and every one of us. The heavens are open. Receive from him today. Easy as that. Okay. Let me read you a few scriptures also. Just, you'll be amazed. Let's just have a look at some scriptures here. I'm just going to read. Okay, this is the John 14 that we looked at now. Whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Powerful. Matthew 21 verse 22. And all things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. Hey. This nation, you know, often this nation is in the hands of the believers. Really. The future of this nation is in the hands of us as believers. It's in the hearts of us as believers. It's in the mouth of us as believers. It's in the belief in Christ as us as believers. Wow, we've got an incredible future. We just got to start believing. Start intimacy. I ask the question myself, the Holy Spirit is speaking to me, as I'm looking at, going through the book of Jeremiah. And one man's sin in Israel defiled the land. And God spewed them out of the land. And I ask, what effect does the believers have in this land? What effect do we have in our towns that we live in? If we see there in just one man and the effect it defiles the whole city that he stayed in over there, what effect we have? And started to ask God these questions of how effective are we as believers? And it's simple. One man sinned, all sinned. One man, Christ Jesus, came, the righteous man. You see, that when we walk and whatever we do in his name, what impact do we have? That's why we go in his name to heal the sick. We go in his name to minister. We go, whatever we do, whatever we say, we do it in his name. There's the impact that we have. It's not about us, it's in his name. Brilliant. That's why we've got a future. Do we believe that? See? Do we believe that? We believe in the effect of one politician, the effect one politician has in the nation. But we don't believe the effect that we as believers in the name of Jesus, the effect of one man, Christ Jesus, his righteousness has in a nation. We don't believe that. See, we need to repent from that unbelief. And the Holy Spirit is convicting us of our unbelief. We can be a Christian, but we do not believe. See, the Holy Spirit is convicting us of that. So that we repent, renew our mind and say, God, sorry, this nation, you've given this nation, you've given these families, you've given this community that we stay in, these towns that we stay in, you've given it to us as believers, and your inheritance, Jesus. And now, because of you, we can have an impact. We can bring about change. Because it's by the power of the Holy Spirit who takes the victory of Jesus and makes it known. In other words, it's the fullness of our Father giving himself through his Son Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. How did we, last Sunday we showed, how is God's love made complete? God's love is made complete as you and I love the people of our sins. And then his love is made complete. It finishes its course. It finds its fulfillment in touching people's lives. Okay, so it's good to be alive. Who's moaning about living today? Silence. You see, we moan because we don't have revelation of the impact that we have when we walk in the name of Jesus. And that's why Jesus says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will bear much fruit. That's the impact. But notice the abiding. Notice his word abiding. If we've taken his word, we have his word within us. We are walking in his word. Remember, love, because we love him, we obey him. That's abiding. We're walking, we're doing, we're living out what his truth, the Holy Spirit's been speaking to us. We're living it out. We bear much fruit. It's because it's no longer I who live, it's Christ who lives in me. And right now, guys, you cannot understand the importance of what the Holy Spirit spoke months and months and months and months ago about recognizing that we died with Christ. The power of that old sinful nature doesn't have its power over us anymore. And for us to believe that and to start renewing our mind and accepting that truth and to say, thank you, Holy Spirit, that because your life is in me, man, that old sinful nature doesn't have a power over me anymore. I can now partake in your fruit. And so your fruit can become a reality That's the effect that you and I have in a sinful world. See, God loves this town. God loves the city that you are in. God loves this nation so much that He's got His children. He's given us the right, the authority to be His children. That's the impact that you and I have. And that's why, let me read some more scriptures. John 16, verse 24. Until now you have asked for nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive so that your joy may be made full. Isn't that profound? Eh? How many times, well, let's put it this way, our prayers being answered brings us tremendous joy. See, have faith in the name of Jesus. You'll be full of joy because you see the prayers being answered. It may take a while, but have faith, persevere, be fully persuaded. Faith comes from hearing. So when the Holy Spirit speaks to you about your situation, receive that faith comes. Go for it. 1 John 5 verse 14. This is a confidence which we have before Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. If you abide in me and my words remain in you, you'll bear much fruit. You can ask. That's His will. That His word is alive in you. That's His will. And you can ask Him and He will hear us. John 15 verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you would go and bear fruit and that your fruit would remain, so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, He may give to you. That's the impact that you and I have. Fruit that remains. See, it's eternal fruit. We have unrighteousness. We've got wickedness. You see, that comes to an end. But us as believers, our fruit, because it's the fruit of righteousness, it's the fruit of the Holy Spirit within us, it's the life of Christ within us. He's eternal. His fruit is everlasting. Okay? Good overcomes evil. See, light overcomes darkness. Guys, you've got to see how incredible the authority, how beautiful we are as children of God, placed in a town, placed in a city, placed in a workplace, placed in a school, placed wherever we may be, in the block of flats, wherever maybe we may see the incredible blessing, because we bring influence. We bring breakthroughs into those situations. Okay. Speak the name of Jesus. Have faith in the name of Jesus. Abide in Him. Let His word abide in us. Let's go on there. John 20 verse 31. But these have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and by believing in His name, you may have life in His name. Powerful. When we're speaking His name, we've got to understand the reality of the fullness of God in the area of His full life. John 16, 23, 24. In that day you will not question me about anything. Truly, truly I say to you, if you ask the Father for anything in my name, He will give it to you. Until now you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you receive so that your joy may be full. John 15 verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it'll be done for you. Colossians 3 verse 17, whatever you do in word or deed, do it in the name of our Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. Mark 11, 24, therefore I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them and they will be granted to you. Look at Mark 16 verse 17. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons, they will speak in new tongues, they will pick up snakes with their hands, and when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on the sick people and they will get well. After the Lord Jesus has spoken to them, He was taken up into heaven and He sat at the right hand of God. Then the disciples went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them and confirmed His word by signs that accompanied it. This is a big thing for us, guys. We are dealing where there's a lot of wickedness. We are dealing where the demonic realm is real. And we have to understand what it means to abide in Jesus and to go out in His name. Ask God. Ask Jesus to teach us. Ask Him to teach us how He lived. Ask Him to teach us how to be able to live as He lived, where we're not ground bound. In other words, we have an argument, we don't get caught up in that argument. That's being ground bound, because now you just tit-tat-put-tat. That's ground bound. You see, that's playing in the pig style. See, ask the Holy Spirit to teach, how do I not get caught up and get involved in being this ground bound, because I'm in another kingdom. I'm not in that kingdom anymore. I've been given the right to be a child of God. I'm your child, Father. How do I live in the spirit? How do I live in the spirit reality of your kingdom on the earth realm, so I don't get caught up and become ground bound? That is why you will find when you ask God to help you, you will start to get healing. You see, because emotional hurt keeps a person ground bound. Because you react. You see, you respond out of the hurts and the past and the rejections and all those things. And you just stay ground bound. You can ask anybody in a marriage relationship, they will tell you what it is to be ground bound. And the arguments being in ground bound arguments. You see, you just need one person to say, no, I'm not going to get caught up in ground bound, because I know I'm in the spirit and I'm going to rather release life. And you start to find the victory. You start to find, because when you're releasing life, the name of Jesus, the fullness of the Father, the fullness of His grace and truth is now being activated and released into the home. The victory. Okay? And so all the time, guys, listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying. Respond. And so in this morning's video, it's a short one, not too long, where Tony is going to be speaking a little bit on the area of rejection, and just to take note of the effect it has when it comes to receiving healing. And so today, receive healing. If you're finding the broken heart, receive. It's your breakthrough today. The heavens are open. Receive and just say, Lord, You're the healer. I need healing. And that, be vulnerable, be honest, and just to receive healing. So, thank you.
This is part 3 in a series on how to receive your healing. And so I want to refer you to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 8, verse 1. And I want you to notice that even though I am talking about healing, the focus is really the person of Jesus, because Jesus is your healer and Jesus is your miracle worker. So in chapter 8 of Matthew's Gospel, it says, when Jesus had come down from the mountain, great crowds followed Him. And there was a leper who came to Jesus and knelt down before Jesus, saying, Lord, if You choose, You can make me clean. And Jesus stretched out His hand and touched him and said, I do choose, be clean. And then the scripture says, immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Now you may say, well, what kind of Bible are you reading from? I'm reading from the New Revised Standard Version. And, I could read it from the King James Version. It doesn't matter what version you read it from. Or I read it from, because I will go back to the original Greek text anyway. I just use this because it has modern language. Let's look at this situation. What gets in the way of people being physically healed or mentally healed or emotionally healed by Jesus? Again, it could be religious tradition. It can be a wrong theology. It could be a wrong belief system. For example, I could believe that God will make me sick to teach me something. But the scripture makes it very, very clear that God gives biblical teachers to teach you. That's number one. Because the Bible says God, in Ephesians 4, God gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry, to build up the body of Christ. Number two, God does not use sickness to teach you something. The Holy Spirit is the teacher. Because we have it in the Word of God, and I'll actually read it to you in the book of John's Gospel. And I want to read this to you because, you know, sometimes I make statements. When the Advocate, this is chapter 14 of John's Gospel, it says, when the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who comes from the Father, he will testify on my behalf. Okay, so the Holy Spirit bears witness to the person of Jesus. Okay? That was chapter 15. That was John 15, verse 26. This is John's Gospel, chapter 14, verse 25. I said these things to you while I'm still with you, verse 26, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. So the Holy Spirit is the teacher. And Jesus really, really makes that plain. Now, also in 1 John, we see something here too in chapter 2, verse 26. I write these things to you concerning those who would deceive you. As for you, the anointing you received from Jesus lives in you, so you do not need anyone to teach you, but as his anointing teaches you, that's the Holy Spirit, his anointing teaches you about all things and is true and is not a lie, just as the anointing has taught you, live in Jesus. So in other words, I have the Holy Spirit as my teacher, and then God gives me teachers. So there's no scriptural reference that says that God sends sickness upon you to teach you. No, the Word of God teaches you, the written Word of God teaches you, the Holy Spirit teaches you, because all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. It's God and breathed. All Scripture comes from the Holy Spirit. And God gives teachers to teach you. So that's very, very important for us to understand. So now let's come back now to this leper. Isn't it interesting that according to the Old Covenant, the leper who had a contagious disease, he couldn't go into the house of God. So now, if you were the leper, wouldn't you feel like God was against you? I believe that if I were the leper, I would have thought, why me? And yes, I probably would have gone there. God is against me. Okay? But if you go back to the book of Genesis, it is only when Adam and Eve sinned that sickness and disease comes into the world as a result of sin. And so, sickness and disease comes in as a result of man and woman yielding to the evil one. So sickness, in the context in which I'm saying it, is either directly or indirectly caused by the fall of man into sin. It comes from the evil one. So now, here's this man now who is spiritually suffering. Okay? To be a leper, now he's mentally suffering and he's emotionally suffering. Because now look, okay, just for the sake of example, here's this man. He can't go into the house of God, so he's not going to be able to enjoy the services. Number two, you know, he can't work. He can't make money. Number three, look at his leisure time. He can't go and watch a basketball game, a baseball game, a football game, to use our modern language. He can't go to the movies. He can't watch a soccer game or go watch a tennis match. You know, there are so many activities socially that he's cut off from. If he has a wife who's not a leper, children who are not lepers, he has just lost his wife, his spouse, his family. So he is suffering now spiritually, he's suffering mentally, he's suffering emotionally. He's suffering physically because his body's in decay and dying. Okay, so he's suffering financially. You know, he's separated from people. And so you could understand why he might think, okay, you know, God is against me, life's not fair. And you could understand why he might feel that. And so, you know, he might be suffering from rejection. And he might be suffering from self-rejection. Most certainly he's suffering from a spirit of heaviness and depression. And he feels hopeless and helpless. And so now this man takes this incredible risk of coming to the Messiah, coming to the Christ, coming to Jesus, the Son of David, the Son of God, and saying, Lord, if you want to, you can cleanse me. Because he doesn't know what God's will is. Notice now, and this is what I want to say to you. If, rejection, self-rejection, and the fear of rejection can get in the way of your spiritual, mental, emotional, and physical healing and your health. This man approaches Jesus, takes an incredible risk, and says, Lord, if you want to, you can cleanse me. Now, the King James Version says, I will, be thou cleansed. And what I read to you was, I choose to. But let me give it to you from the original language, because to me it just speaks so much. Jesus actually said in the original language, I want to with all my heart. Now, the Bible says that Jesus is no respecter of persons. So Jesus didn't love this man and not love others. No, God is no respecter of persons. Jesus loves everyone. That's God is love. Jesus showed compassion to all who came and ministered to all who came. Okay? And so, here's Jesus saying, I want to with all my heart. So I'm letting you know right now that Jesus wants to heal you spiritually with all his heart. Jesus wants to heal your mind and your emotions with all of his heart. Jesus wants to heal your body with all his heart. It is the heart of Jesus to bring healing to you. It's the heart of Jesus to heal your heart. It's the heart of Jesus to heal your mind. It's the heart of Jesus to heal your will and your emotions. It's the heart of Jesus to heal your body. It's his heart to do so. And so we have here a revelation of the Father's heart. Because I want you to look beyond the healing itself to the Father's heart who ministers the healing. And so Jesus didn't say to this man, are you righteous? Are you holy? Maybe the man was righteous. Maybe he was holy. Maybe he was sinful. Okay? But I can guarantee you this. After he was touched by God, his life was never the same. And so Jesus, regardless of your past sins, if you will let yourself be touched by Jesus, you'll no longer be the same. Your life will change because of Jesus. I want you to know that it's the will of Jesus Christ to take the rejection away, to take the self-rejection away, to take the depression away, if there's self-hatred. Jesus wants to heal your heart. He wants to heal your life. And Jesus wants to heal your body. And maybe you were rejected by a father or a stepfather. Maybe you were rejected by a mother or stepmother. Maybe you, for whatever reason, your parents died and you were orphaned and you were adopted. I want to let you know that the Father accepts you through his son, Jesus. Ephesians 1 and 6 and 7 says that you're accepted in the beloved Jesus. You're accepted by the Father. And I want you to know that the Father loves you. And Jesus loves you. So let Jesus heal your heart today. And just let Jesus heal your mind today. Let Jesus heal your emotions today. Let Jesus heal your body today. Listen to me carefully. Jesus loves you. And I want you to begin to receive the love of Jesus right now. And let me lead you in a prayer. Say, dear Jesus, I know you love me. I've been rejected. I have rejected myself. I fear rejection from you. I fear rejection from other people. Sometimes I've not liked myself. I've not loved myself. Sometimes I've hated myself. I've been so depressed. Lord, I forgive whoever hurt me. Lord, you said to forgive others, and you'll be forgiven. So, Lord, with all my heart, I forgive others. Lord, I forgive myself. Lord, I recognize you love me. Lord, you care for me. Lord, I receive your healing touch. Lord, heal my heart. Lord, heal my mind. Lord, heal my emotions. And right now, Lord, take my sickness away. Take my disease away. I receive you, Lord, as my healer and miracle worker now. Now let me pray for you. Holy Father, I pray for this one. I want this one healed. Be healed in your heart. Be healed in your mind. Be healed in your emotions. Be healed in your body. Jesus forgives you as you repent. As you, by an act of your will, forgive others. Jesus said, forgive and you shall be forgiven in Luke 6. As you forgive others, Jesus forgives you. Now be set free from the pain. When I was talking earlier about pain in Matthew's Gospel chapter 4, that word can also be trauma. So if you've been sexually abused, forgive that person. If you were mentally abused, forgive that person. If you were emotionally abused, forgive that person. It's not about them now. What they thought, what they said, what they did was horrible, it was awful, it was wrong, it will always be wrong. But you're not forgiving them for them, you're forgiving them for you so that you can be released from the trauma. I don't want you tripped up by this trauma. I don't want you to be held captive by the abuse. Say, Lord Jesus, I forgive them now. Lord Jesus, forgive me. Take the hurt away. Take the pain away. Take the suffering away. Take the nightmares away. Take the effects of the trauma away. And right now, be set free from that fear. Be set free from that anxiety. Be set free from that rejection. I speak to rejection. Come out. I speak to self-rejection. Come out. I speak to that hurt and pain. Come out. I speak to that depression and that heaviness, that sadness and that sorrow, that helplessness and that hopelessness. I speak to it and I say, come out. And I release healing virtue into your heart. I release healing virtue into your mind. I release healing virtue into your body. I speak to all pain. Come out. I speak to the source of the pain. Come out. And I release the peace of God. And I say to your body, be healed. May every symptom of the disease disappear. Die. Go from the person's body. And I thank you, Jesus, that just like you love that leper, you're cleansing this person of spiritual leprosy, mental leprosy, emotional leprosy. You're being healed by Jesus Christ right now. Receive the love of the Father. Receive the love of Jesus. Begin to say to yourself, I'm loved by God. I'm loved by Jesus. I'm going to love myself. I'm accepted by God. I'm accepted by Jesus. I'm going to accept myself. Let that be your new self-talk. Agree with God. Jesus died for you because you, in his eyes, were worthy of love. Now love yourself the way the Father loves you. Love yourself the way Jesus loves you. The Father accepts you. Jesus accepts you. Accept yourself. Get there and stay there. Because you're loved by the Father and you're loved by Jesus.